Yeah.
14-2?
14-2. I'm Kelly Pettigen here at the Big Fat Farm Show, and I'm sitting here today with Lee Kwan-Wisiwama, the director of the Hopi Cultural Preservation Office. Lee, thanks so much for coming today and speaking with us.
Thanks for the invitation. I'm glad to be here in Cortez again, visiting friends and making new friends.
And you're here also in part to work on the Pueblo Farming Project. Can you tell us a little bit about that project and what its goals are?
The Pueblo Farming Project was first proposed by Crow Canyon by Dr. Mark Varian and others. So in 2010, we did begin the first project in identifying land and getting it cleared and stuff like that. But the goal of the project was to collaborate with Crow Canyon on a number of key questions. Some of them were scientific questions, and others were primarily also questions about the culture and really the culture of corn that the Hopis have had for thousands of years. So science and then the cultural knowledge was going to come together. And part of it was to now have Crow Canyon contribute with their own questions in terms of productivity, in terms of other types of questions dealing with environmental conditions, and then eventually see exactly over time develop a baseline of data, figure out the trends of yield and productivity kind of questions, you know. So all of that together was really what the Hopi tribe and the Cultural Preservation Office supported.
And is this project also looking at how farming techniques now are comparable to how ancestral Puebloans were farming in this area?
Well, the Mesa Verde region is very, very intimate with Hopi clan traditions. We have very specific ties into these areas by various clans, including my clan, the Greasewood clan from Third Mesa. So over time, of course, the clans, the Hopi clans and Hopi people began to grow corn. And for thousands of years, that's what we did. And eventually we settled in the Hopi mesas. And today the Hopi people still farm using the techniques that were handed down over generations of time.
Can you describe some of these specific farming techniques that you're using here today with the corn?
Well, it seems complicated, but it really isn't when the culture is still rich in carrying out these traditions. You know, there's gender roles, and it's incorporated into different it incorporates different environmental knowledge along with the emotions of the Hopi people. And you could say that the emotions of the Hopi people is really what we believe in. It's part of our religious practices and obligations to the corn, to the earth. So all of that type of feelings we have for the corn is part of, you know, what we use to dedicate our lives to growing corn. And among the things that we do, of course, is evaluate the environment. So being that we flood irrigate and we depend on the monsoons and also the winter to help us with the sustenance of growing corn, we are very careful in evaluating, you know, where we want to do these kind of farms. You know, so most of the farms are within the valleys, and of course the flooding comes from the top. So it's very practical. My farms are right at the base of several washes that flood, and the flooding sometimes, yes, damage and take some of my corn, but also continues to replenish topsoil with new rich soil, you know, so that's kind of practical.
You kind of touched on this, but can you talk a little bit about corn's place in Hopi culture?
The corn is very important in the Hopi life. When the Hopi people first emerged into the present lands that we we're gonna now place our footprints on, the spiritual people came to us, and they met us, and the Hopi clans also began to know that the spiritual people were very, very simple people. They had a lot of humility, but they also had the corn. Whereas the Hopi clans seemed to have a lot of knowledge and other types of practices that kind of conflicted with this value of humility. But the Hopi clans asked to be part of this world here. And the spiritual people said, well, it's really up to you. Because all I have and all we have is a planting stick, a pouch of seeds, and a little gourd of water. That's all we have to offer you. And that is my life, our life here. It's a simple life, it's a hard life, but if you want to be here with us and with me, the spiritual leader said, then it's up to you. So the clan said, we will be part of your life here. So the corn was given to us, you know, to plant, to grow, and to protect. And that, so it became a symbol of our survival. It became a symbol of who we are today, because I can tell you, being a farmer, it forces you to be humble. You know, we have no control over the environment. We pray for a good season, but we have no control over it. And if we have that goodness in our heart, like with our prayer and stuff like that, and our behavior as a tribe and as a person, then the blessings will come. We'll have a good winter. We'll have the cloud people come and nourish the whole earth, and you know the Hopi lands and the cornfields with their moisture. So all of that is embodied in who we are. It's centered around corn. It's used in our ceremonies year round. It's used for baby naming, like the mother corns that we saw today. They're used in baby naming ceremonies and other ceremonies, because that mother corn is symbol of the earth, and earth is the caretaker of all people.
My name's Ronald Wadsworth, and I serve as an advisor to the Hopi Cultural Preservation Office. I am from Second Mesa Hopi Reservation. My village is called Songupage. When you have these kernels all the way up to the top, mm-hmm. is a very special corn. It's recorded as the mother corn, because at childbirth you are given this, as part of your christening ceremony, and it's your mother, it's your protector in your first days of life in this world. It's also your mother in ceremony, because religious ceremony, initiation ceremony, just like a rebirth. So this is given to you as your protector, and it's also sustenance on this earth, and even into the afterlife you are given one of these, you know, to take with you. So very, again, a feminine element, very important to us. In our society, we're matrilineal, so everything is based on the feminine, and everything belongs to the female, the homes, the religious deities, and the yield, everything belongs to the women.
But I'm a Hopi. I grew up Hopi, you know, and that's where my heart is. And so I think over time, that Hopi heart has opened itself up to others.
PTS 1.